Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. Sam, I don't know if you got the memo. Did you get the memo earlier today? Apparently, Mahrez is now on penalties.
Oh, yeah.
Who knew? I mean, the Haaland triple captainers didn't know.
I phoned Pep.
Oh, you give him a call, did you?
Yeah.
He told you firsthand. Good, okay.
No, I asked him. I said, Pep, I could do with some Mahrez points. Can you put more pens?
Absolutely.
He said, sure, Sam, from FPL Family. Couldn't think of anything
Absolutely
I'd love to
unreal.
Do more for you.
I tell you what, the swing, if you're a Haaland triple captain and you're in the live chat, I want to hear from you. Or if you're watching the replay, I want to hear from you in the comments. That is a huge swing. And we talked about this. In fact, last season, if I remember rightly, we had a lot of this 50-50 calls that were having massive swings. And I think so far this season, we haven't had quite so much of that. Last year, there was loads of it. But this, I reckon, is definitely one of the bigger ones from this season. If you go back a couple of weeks, I think we sat here and we said Rashford triple captain last game with those two home games. We were kind of leaning towards it. But there was a hell of a lot in the community that were very 50-50 about that call and whether to play it that week or play it on Haaland this week. And a lot went for Haaland this week. And they've got to be... Listen, we are halfway through the game week, aren't we? There's still plenty of games to go. Well, we've got Man City and Arsenal to go this game week.
So we're in Liverpool and Everton.
That's one good thing you're going to get out of me tonight. Is that been a good move? Because Liverpool haven't ruined my mood
for
the
weekend. I'm in a terrible mood, by the way.
We are going to talk about your lot.
Everybody. Who is going to play in the Champions League? I'm telling you now. Valentine's Day evening. I'm going to be in a mood.
You're going to be watching the game.
Hoiberg's banned. Benton calls out for 8 months.
We've got to talk about
we
the effect.
We have to play Skip and well, Pape Sarr.
We've got to talk what? About the effect of the Benton core injury on Spurs a bit later on because you
Relegation.
Feel quite strongly about
That's the effect.
You do feel quite strongly about it. But yes, Haaland triple captain. If you triple captained Haaland in game week 23.
No guarantee he's even going to play midweek though.
No guarantee that he's going to play midweek.
Off was with he? With a kick.
Was he bought off as a bit of a precaution? It sort of feels
Pep,
like with 3-0 up, Pep. I mean, if he's going to bring him off and save him for the midweek, you can understand why he might do that.
He said something weird, like, if it was a closer game, I might have risked it. But if there's any doubt, I won't play him.
And did he not take the penalty because he got that knock and he perhaps didn't feel quite
at it? Because
it
didn't feel like Mahrez was trying to take the ball. It seemed to be Gundogan.
Gundogan gave it to Mahrez almost, didn't he?
Gundogan was trying to get it off Rodri.
Yeah.
And he gave it to Mahrez as if to say, well, Haaland isn't right.
Very odd, wasn't it? Very odd. And then Pep kind of came out afterwards and said, well, look, the players decide. You know, he said, as far as I'm concerned, Erling is the first penalty taker. Then it's Riyad. After that, you know, the players can sort it out for themselves. Now, had he been... Would he have been quite so relaxed about it had Mahrez missed? No, I don't think. Absolutely not. But he tucked it away for what was yet another double-digit haul for Mahrez. And I have to say, if you go back again, another 50-50 call from a few weeks ago, I was kind of sitting here thinking, well, KDB or Mahrez. And I went KDB a few weeks ago, whereas you went Mahrez. And that is what's led to the scores that you're going to see at the end of this live stream, guys, when we talk about where we're at with our teams and where we're at with our ranks. Both of us still doing pretty well, but your climb, Sam, from FPL Family, is astonishing. Astonishing since the World Cup. You have played the game brilliantly. Now, you've had a very healthy lump of jam today. A very healthy lump of jam. But you take it.
I'm going to get some more tomorrow night as well when Darwin Nunez gets a hat-trick.
Definitely not. I'll tell you, definitely
he
not.
Is. When he scores his final goal of the hat-trick, he's going to lift up his shirt and undo it. There's going to be a message. Sam,
points
FPL
for
Family,
Sam.
Thanks for keeping the faith.
Well, I've still got him as well. Blind faith.
Oh,
is
just, it's just going to say FPL
well,
so. Family, thanks for keeping the faith then.
Whatever.
Across his best.
Listen, the trouble that Liverpool win right now, I'll take a 1-0 win coming off of, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain's backside at the minute. Anything will do. Anything will do. Let's say hello to a few people. John Cahill is in. He says, Bentancur injury is worse than conceding 4.
Genuinely.
I think
I totally agree.
Most Spurs fans would agree with you, John. Certainly, your evening, if it wasn't bad having lost 4-1 to Leicester, your morning this morning when the Bentancur news broke, you were... As were a lot of my Spurs mates, actually. I've got a lot of Spurs mates, obviously, and a lot of them were just like, yeah, we're screwed now.
He's
bigger player than I give him credit for in that Spurs team.
He's obviously important. Yesterday, I was annoyed
by the result.
I was annoyed by the result, but I also wasn't surprised because we were missing Romero. Lloris is injured. Like, the whole backbone of that defence was gone. And
you don't often miss Romero when he's not there.
Yeah,
I know the goalkeeper situation. I appreciate Forster is...
Well, you know,
not that great.
A few weeks ago, there were a lot of Spurs fans calling, and a lot of non-Spurs fans as well, going, I don't know why they persist playing Lloris. This is why we played Lloris, because yes, he's got a clanger in him, but he's better than Fraser Forster. And couple that with the fact that the defence was then missing Romero. It's just, that result was one thing, and I'd sort of gone, That's a disaster, let's move on. But the Bentancur news this morning broke me.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. I think the fact that you were linked with, I think I read this correct, I think you were linked with Ben Foster.
Yeah.
Last week or the week before. I think is retired,
still,
right?
Still currently trying to get him out of retirement. 39-year-old Ben Foster.
That tells you everything you need to know about Conte's belief in Fraser Forster. But terrible. Anyway, more on Spurs a bit later on, I'm sure. Yeah. And we will talk about Leicester City, who were very good. I have to say, they were very good. Take nothing away from them. Thank you for the super chat. Kai Sun Chan. Thank you, Kai, for the super chat. He couldn't afford KDB to Bruno. So he had Bruno from last week for the double game. We couldn't afford to get to KDB, so just went, ah, sod it, I went Mahrez instead. What a shout. There will be plenty like Kai that have done that and maybe wanted to get the KDB, couldn't, so just plump for Mahrez, and it has turned out wonderfully for you so far.
I think even if I'd have been in that position this week, Mahrez or KDB ahead of it, I'd have... I said that on Sky yesterday, didn't I?
Yeah,
Still prefer Mahrez.
Well, I think the when you go back to that choice that I had to make and you had to make and many of us had to make a few weeks ago as to which Man City midfielder to pair with Haaland for this run that included this double game week, I think we all went in knowing that whoever you pick, you've made your bed. Because really, I look at it now and I go, well, I think they've got Forest away next week. It's like, well, am I going to move sideways from KDB to Mahrez? It feels like I'm asking for trouble, doesn't it? So until I want to take KDB out, which I'm increasingly getting warming to the idea of, to be honest with you, I'm sort of not going to go to Mahrez, and it just feels so wrong. It feels so wrong.
It could
just
completely flip, though, couldn't
it? It could. We've still got the game to go. Of course, yeah, of course. Paul Cook, hey, Paul, he says, had Shaw on the bench, missing out on the 12-pointers. Yeah, listen, it's...
Max's bench.
I think a lot did that, you know, this week. A lot did that. And had I done the transfer that I was thinking of doing... there's a reasonable chance I would have done it as well. But because I stuck with Stones for another week and benched him, I played Shaw instead. So I was pretty happy with that in the end. I was pretty happy. FPL Harry is in. How are we doing, Harry? Nice to see you, mate. A better performance from Chelsea. We're going to talk about Chelsea, which is Harry's team, a bit later on.
I didn't think you could play two goalkeepers in a match. West Ham.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, VAR. VAR. Have you seen what they've said? They said the other two errors that they made yesterday. There were some absolute howlers yesterday, by the way.
Oh, yeah, they said they were sorry they didn't look at the Arsenal one.
There were some howlers. If you were an Arsenal fan and, oh, sorry, we just forgot to draw the lines. That's just not good enough, is it? It's just not good enough. It's absolutely awful. That could cost Arsenal the title. I'm not being funny. It could. It's a joke. We forgot to draw it. It's a joke. And if it wasn't bad, so they apologised for that one. They apologised for the one in the Brighton game, which I can't even remember what it was. But they haven't yet apologised for Suchek's basically saving it. I mean, what was that about? How Chelsea haven't got a penalty there is absolutely mind-blowing.
We were watching that with my dad, weren't you? Because we just got back from Sky. My parents had the kids for us while we were on Sky. We got in because, as you know, my dad, die-hard Chelsea fan. And my mum...
He couldn't believe it. He was out of his chair. It was unbelievable.
My mum and I had gone in the other room to finish off something. And all we could hear is Dad shouting at the TV and Lee going... It's got to be a penalty. It's got to be a penalty. And Mum was like, I better go and investigate.
I honestly couldn't believe it. I mean, we've had some VAR. We've had some clangers, haven't we, since VAR's been around. We've had some good ones, no doubt about it.
There's been some moments.
But Suchek, full-on diving, saving it from going in.
I'd love it if he comes out and says, yeah, it was a save.
I saw plenty of tweets saying he made as many saves as Kepa yesterday, which is kind of
savage.
Kind of interesting.
Danny Ward actually got more points than Kepa on my bench.
Listen, we are not negging on Kepa because he's done all right for us in the last few weeks. We will accept it. We'll accept it. Let's see. Danny McDonald. How are you, Danny? He says, where do they find these people running VAR? Yeah, totally. The Lamina red card. Oh, my God. That's the other one. Danny, you've just reminded me. That was the other one. Have you seen this one?
No.
So Lamina gets like some... ridiculous booking, right? It's a silly foul. Let's say it's a booking, the first one.
Okay.
The second one, he's not even involved. There's a coming together. I can't even remember what happened. And then a couple of the Wolves players surround the referee. So if you're the referee, you or if I'm a fan watching that, or at neutral, which I was on Match of Day last night, I'm like, well, you booked them two. Yeah, I think it was Neves and somebody else, right? They've gone rushing over to the referee. Yeah, okay, don't surround me as a referee. Lamina kind of jogs over to join them, which he probably shouldn't do, but he still jogs over. And as he's jogging over, the ref just goes, you, book. As if to say, you two, no, you're all right, but because I've booked you already, I'm going to send you off. And Lamina's just like, what are you doing? It was, I'm glad you reminded me of that, Danny. It was honestly bonkers. It was bonkers. But fair play to Wolves, because what they did was at half time, they completely changed it.
Is that one that they can't... I think... I'm not standing up for VAR. But if it was...
Please don't.
But I think the rule is that if it's a yellow card, they can't intervene.
That's probably...
I think that's probably why the two... Because it was two yellows.
Yeah, that I think Danny's comment and my comment's not really about VAR on that one. It's just the absolute state of refereeing in this in this country. It's just unbelievable. This ref... You should have seen it. I've got to show you the video later. He's got these two Wolves players shouting in his face. He just goes, no, you over there. Booking. I'm like, what? Why? You either book them two or not at all. I don't get it.
Oh, I haven't
it's
seen
unbelievable.
This. I'll have to watch that later.
It's so good. Cyberdebt is in as usual. Nigel
what's
the Crab.
He
hello,
saying?
Si. Very nice to see you, mate.
What's he moaning about?
He says, no. He says, nearly a member for a year on YouTube.
No way.
I can't believe that year has gone absolutely flown by. So, Si, thank you very much for being a member here on YouTube. And guys, anybody that enjoys these live streams, if you enjoy me ranting about VAR, and me and Danny having a go at referees, which is class, by the way. Get over to the join button. You can get onto our little
You'll
homepage.
Have to come out publicly click on join. Soon, like the managers do when they have a go at the
referees. Screw that. I'm not doing that. It's a joke. He says, when do my adoption papers come through? So we'll adopt you any day, Simon.
Any day.
I've had a howler this week, though. He says, 32 points and 27 on the bench. How does that happen?
It could only happen to Si.
Only Simon could do that.
So, but Max has got a lot on his bench because he's got Andreas Pereira with 6. Yeah. And he's got Luke Shaw with 12.
Yeah, Luke Shaw's done it.
And if you add, like, there will be people that have also benched, like, I don't know, Almiron. I bet you Almiron's on a lot of people's benches.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We will get to talk about FPL in a minute. I enjoyed that ref rant. That was, thank you, Danny, for reminding me of the Lamina one. That was because of all of them, like the Suchek one, I was like, that's shocking. But the Lamina one is genuinely funny. It's that bad. You just have to laugh at it.
What did Lamina say about it? What does he...
I don't think Lamina had said anything else. I think he just sort of sunk to his knees and then got up and was just like, you know, he did the whole like, what, me? And I think even, the two players I was talking about, like Neves and I can't remember who it was, maybe Neves and somebody else, I think even they said in a post-match interview, well, book us, you know? Book me. I'm the one shouting in your face, not Lamina. Oh, Danny, it was cracking, wasn't it? It was so good.
I'm going to have to go and watch that. To be honest, I didn't want anything to do with Match of the Day last night after Spurs' terrible performance. So I was like, I don't want anything to do with Match of the Day. I'm going to stay well away from it. Then I come downstairs this morning and Lee's like, have you heard that Bentancur's out for 6 months? And I was like, why? I've just got up and it's Sunday morning. Why?
Yeah, well, Sam, I think it is probably appropriate. Let me just refresh this page, folks, so I can get exactly the scores and everything up to date. Since you've mentioned it, let's get it over with then. Let's get it over with. Spurs 1, Leicester 4. Leicester 4, Spurs 1. I have a few thoughts and comments on Leicester. but I take nothing away from Leicester. I thought they were very good.
No.
But tell me about the Spurs piece then. And also, I'd like your further thoughts on Bentancur and whether that might affect people investing in, for example, Harry Kane and others.
Don't invest.
So you're saying don't invest in Kane now? It's going to affect you that much?
I feel that strongly that this will kill us, this.
Bissouma comes in though,
isn't he?
Højbjerg can play there? Skip comes in?
Højbjerg can play there, but not in the Champions League because he's suspended. So in the league, we'll have Højbjerg. And then it will be Skip or Pape Sarr alongside him because that's all we've got available now. We're going to have to go and get someone back off their loan. That is the only thing we can do. They're going to have to go and
get... Windows closed and all that now as well.
Oh, God, the thing that I dread the most is if they come back with Ndombele comes back again. Just like, honestly,
remember him.
Bring back Lo Celso off of his loan, maybe. The whole thing's a joke. That losing Bentancur, honestly, I do... The reason that Spurs work in the games that we work is because the midfield two are so strong. So you have Romero and Dier working in a decent partnership behind. And then you have Bentancur and Højbjerg, who instinctively know where the other one is. One goes, one stays. They swap around. It's more Bentancur that stays and more Højbjerg that's going. But Bentancur's vision and the way that he reads the game is so important.
Yeah.
And it's the way that he links to Kane. And Kane is... Because Kane obviously drops deeper. And he'll link up nicely with Bentancur. And that opens up the forward attacking play. Now, without Bentancur there, we are going to be relying on... likely Skip to do that role.
Yeah.
And that's just
such
not...
Such a downgrade on Bentancur.
And that's just not the right thing. And I love Skippy. But he's been injured for so long. And yeah. He's not had any real game time since he's come back. And that's a real concern.
But talk to me through the FPL ramifications then. So you're saying, don't touch Spurs without Bentancur. Well, it's that bad. It's that big a miss. Yeah, with Hugo out as well, Romero out short term.
No, Romero would be back because he's out because he got sent off, didn't he, against Man City. So he'll be fine. He'll be back. So we'll have Romero back. That's one thing. So that will strengthen the defence. But what will happen if you, as a Kane owner, I'll probably hold him for West Ham just because it's West Ham and anything can happen in a derby, and to see how we play in that first game. But to be honest, if he plays Skip, I think that has a real negative impact on Kane. If he plays Pape Sarr, then maybe it's not as bad for Kane because Højbjerg could do the sitting role and Pape Sarr could do the forward role.
What you're saying is it your attacking output might be unchanged, but you're more than likely going to be leakier at the back.
Well, I think our attacking output changes if it's Skip because we won't have the connection between as quickly up front, which is what we rely on, the counter-attacking quick movement.
Yeah.
I think from a Spurs perspective, we need to use this now as an opportunity to make wholesale changes. Like for me, he should bench Son and play Richarlison. We need to change the way things are. I thought it was, honestly, Porro...
had a difficult game, didn't he? To say the least.
And it was a difficult game, so I'm not going to neg on him.
I thought Perisic had a difficult game on the other side as well. Just the shape and those two there... Tanganga in the middle of the free, it just didn't work.
I'm not going to neg on them too much until I've seen them play with Romero. Right. Once Romero's in there with Dier and Porro and Perisic, then we'll see.
Yeah.
But I actually felt a little bit, and here, I'm going to say something shocking. I felt a little bit sorry for Emerson Royale because genuinely had the best game I've ever seen him play against Man City.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he benched him. Didn't sit well with me. I've got to be honest. I thought we were terrible.
Yeah, so Wilco's in the chat. Hey, Wilco. He's saying, yeah, Sam, what's your thoughts on Porro? I think it sounds like you're very much on the fence then. Not impressed so far, but give him a chance.
Give him a chance. It was his first game. Against
when he's playing in a Spurs defence that's half decent.
And with a goalkeeper that can save some stuff.
Yeah, but that's not for a few weeks, is it? That's the problem.
Well, we've done 1 week, so we've got five to go.
Yeah, all right.
But it's a disaster. We need to get Ben Foster in.
Spurs fixtures going forward. Well, it's West Ham at home and Chelsea at home and Forest at home. So three home games in the next, 4 weeks?
If you have Kane, or any Spurs player for that
matter... You've got to keep Harry with those fixtures, haven't you?
Well, also, he plays in 25. You can't sell a Spurs player right now. They play.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Because you have got that game locked in 25, haven't you? And it's Chelsea.
So regardless, you've basically got 2 weeks now to watch how Spurs do without Bentancur. And then maybe for 26, you make the call on Kane.
Yeah, West Ham at home, you ain't selling. And then in 25, you're not selling because you need them. So it's going to be 26 before you even think about doing something with Harry Kane, isn't it?
Agree.
Yeah, so it's a watching brief for the next couple of weeks. Interesting. Ooh. Take nothing away from the Foxes, though. They were very, very good. And I have to say, it's one of the best games I've seen Iheanacho play. Really good. And with Tete coming in on that right-hand side, it's just freed up Maddison to be far more central and in and around Iheanacho. And the two of them buzzed off of each other the whole time.
They
brilliant.
Did.
The first goal by Mendy is an absolute belter, by the way. If you haven't seen it, what a strike. His first goal in something like 109 games for Leicester is his first ever goal for Leicester. His play is that's not his game, is scoring goals.
No.
But it comes to him and he hits it straight as an arrow. Brilliant. Then Maddison gets a goal, gets an assist. Harvey Barnes, I think, pops up with the fourth one. Could have had one. He ruled out
just before
for VAR. So, all in all, a top performance from Leicester. Now,
they probably came against us at the right time, though.
True enough. But here's my challenge with Leicester, because they have started to pick up a little bit.
The fixtures are dreadful.
This is the problem, isn't it? This is the problem. You say dreadful.
They're dreadful.
You've got Manchester United away next. Yes, that is not an easy game, no doubt about it. Then Arsenal at home in 25. Southampton, Chelsea and Brentford after that, though, doesn't look too bad. My thing with...
Southampton is the only game in there. I think Chelsea's hard. Chelsea, defensively, they're solid, right? All right, they've had a...
They've been better.
They have. Well, they've had three clean sheets in a row. All right, they didn't keep one this week, but they've been solid defensively. Southampton, well, let's see, because they're going to get some new manager bounce potentially now, depending upon who they get as their new manager.
Yeah, your man's gone, isn't he, now? Yeah.
So, and then who was the other team in there? Southampton, Chelsea and Brentford. Well, Brentford aren't a pushover defensively. They are really solid and they got a great goalkeeper in there. One that we could do with signing.
The one that, the thing I will say, though, is that, and Danny's saying it in the chat, I think you're right, Danny, is that, and I've been guilty of this too often this season, is I look at the fixture and say, well, they're difficult. But the teams in form are the ones to go for. And they're picking up a lot of decent form. And Maddison, we know what he's like when he plays in that central role. His stats go through the roof.
Yeah,
if he goes out wide right, he's okay as an FPL asset. If he plays in the centre, and now that Tete's there, they've got a viable option out there. Plus, Vardy seems to be, I think, bless him, I think his legs have just gone this season.
Well, he's old.
So he's coming in and he's just playing a bit of a super sub role. But if Iheanacho can keep up that streak that he's on at the minute, I think Madders could do really well, you know. Set pieces as well.
I don't object to the Maddison pick. I think the thing is, I don't think we should read too much into Leicester. I think the fixtures are difficult. I think they'll struggle to win any games in that period of time.
Yeah.
And I think that...
It's a shame there's just not one or two easier games in there, you know?
I think this result flatters them. Not because I think they didn't deserve to win the game by 4-1, because they did deserve to win the game, probably by more than four, to be fair.
Mm.
But because they've come up against us at a time when we were... Well, we've had a nightmare, basically. And I think if you look at that result on paper, you go, wow, they can smash Spurs 4-1. Southampton probably could have beaten us this week. We were that bad. We were that bad.
Okay.
So I wouldn't... Maybe with Leicester, but I think there are better teams you could invest in.
Yeah,
for better fixtures at the moment.
I don't see me going in on Maddison or anybody else before a trip to Old Trafford. Don't get me wrong, but... If they go to Old Trafford and they get something and they perform, I will be having a proper look at them then.
The other thing you've got to be careful of with Leicester is they're still in the FA Cup, so they could blank in 28.
Yeah, could do them going out the Cup, couldn't we?
Well, and to be honest, the Cup could be... I mean, 28 looks horrendous. If the results go the way that they should be, game week 28 is going to be free hit territory. It's going to have to be. You're going to have like three players.
It's sort of looking that way, isn't it? It's sort of looking that way. Let's move on. Very good result for Leicester. Very good result. Spurs... got to improve, and without Bentancur and without Hugo Lloris, not sure that they will.
It's quite a nice playing on a Monday night, isn't it? Because you don't have to deal with that.
It's great. Yeah.
See, this is how I felt the other week. You know, when we played on a Monday night, you feel like, I wish all my games were on a Monday night.
Yeah. Normally, I've been sitting here negging on Liverpool week after week, and I'm quite happy.
So
I'm just happy because we haven't played.
Yeah,
it's great. Where else can we go, Sam? Let's talk about Arsenal 1, Brentford 1 then. So we went into this fixture with six Arsenal assets between us. I had three different ones to you, though. So I had White, Ødegaard, and Nketiah, so blanks all round there, which was a bit of a kick in the teeth, actually, particularly for Ben White, who I noticed was on for the three bonus before the Tony goal, which subsequently we found out was offside because they didn't draw the lines. So that was a bit hard to take as a Ben White owner. But from an Ødegaard and an Nketiah perspective, nothing for those two. And it was Saka, actually, that popped up. And then it was Saka that popped up with the assist. And one bonus, or did he get no bonus, Saka,
there was
in the
some
end? Did he get bonus?
Was there a bonus in there?
Yes, one bonus by the look of it. Yeah, one bonus. I kind of look at it and I go, well, if I think about my possible transfers going into this game week, it was to downgrade Stones to Tarkowski so that I could afford Saka for a hit, or I could go straight to Ødegaard for no hit. And in the end, I decided the no hit option. Now, right now, not feeling too great about that.
But it would have cost you the 12 Shaw points. Because you'd have benched him.
Well, it would have cost me a -4 for a start. And yes, would I have benched Shaw or Tarkowski? Knowing how negative I'm about Liverpool, possibly would have benched Shaw. But probably would have benched Tarkowski. But still, my question to you, though, is a bit broader than that. Is the pressure starting to tell?
What, on Arsenal?
At Arsenal. Just a couple of results that just haven't gone their way. Last couple of weeks, there's suddenly a bit, you know, with City winning today, we're well out of it, so I'm not talking about us in a title race or anything like that, but you know, with the City game today, I was kind of hoping for a City home win against Villa today, because I thought, well, that is going to make Wednesday's game, is it Wednesday when they play?
Wednesday.
That is going to make for a hell of a game, because all of a sudden Arsenal maybe just feeling a little bit of the squeeze, and one thing you can't say that Pep's team haven't got is experience. They've got experience of being in and around or absolutely in a title race at this end of the season. They know how to go from beginning of February to May.
It's not just them though. Smash it. Ten Hag's boys as well.
United are in there. Right in there. We'll talk about them in a minute. But Arsenal, is the pressure telling or not?
I mean, maybe. We haven't had any Arteta out yet. And that's got to come at some point because it wouldn't be an FPL season if we didn't have that.
Definitely not going to get out.
I don't know. Look, they have been a little bit not as free-flowing in the last few weeks.
Mm.
However, maybe it's the pressure, potentially. But they've come up against some... Like, Brentford's not an easy game. That's a tough fixture. You would expect Arsenal to win it.
Which one?
Brentford.
This one, yeah.
You would have expected Arsenal to win it, but...
Brentford, I don't know about that, you know.
It's a tough game.
I don't know if I did go into that. I was fully expecting that to be a difficult game for Arsenal. Brentford are on a run of like 10 unbeaten, aren't they? Yeah. It's the best run they've had in their history.
I mean. So Arsenal, unreal. They're in a period of time where they're playing difficult games, right, against difficult teams. If they can keep, even if they just keep picking up a point across this period, I think that's fine. It's when you start losing games that you've then got to start to be worrying. And they've come back from the game against Everton, which they absolutely should have won, and got something out of this game, and will consider themselves a bit unlucky.
Given... Do you know what I will say about the Arteta press conference, though? What did you make of the Arteta press conference after? Because I expected him to be madder about this. Because they should have won this game. I mean, Brentford's goal should not have stood because it was offside. And they've come out this morning and said that. But Arteta was really calm about it in the post-match. And in my mind, I was like, why are you being so calm? And I wondered whether he's being calm so that the players and the fans are calm. He knows that the pressure's on. He knows that they're not playing that great right now. And the last thing they need is for the fans or the players to have any sort of unsettlement. And I just wondered whether him being calm was almost a bit of a message, you know, stay calm. But the fact that he needs to give that message, to me, suggests there is a bit of uncalm. I don't know. I'm probably reading too much into it, but I just wonder whether City breathing down their necks and winning week after week, there's a lot of pressure on this game now. And they've got to go to Villa, haven't they, next week? Arsenal? That's a tough game, I would suggest. I know we've just watched City... Villa lose well. They got well beaten at the Etihad, but
I don't
at
know.
Home, different
Look,
team.
They've got Man City to play twice in the next few weeks. I think depending upon how those games go, will have a major impact on what happens in the league. I don't think there's any need to panic. I think Arsenal have had to, in many ways, they've had to completely change up the way that they're playing, haven't they? They've had to change up their whole style of play since the Jesus injury, which has... It's changed the way that we look at the assets from an FPL perspective. It's made Saka more appealing. It's made Martinelli less appealing. Although he did pick up the clean sheet point, thankfully.
He did. Well done, Martinelli owners.
Thank you very much. So, you know, it's changed the way things are playing. And they're going through a difficult moment. All clubs go through difficult moments during the course of the season.
Totally. It's how they react to it, man.
It's how they take something from games, and they did that against Brentford. So I don't think it's a time to panic. I think for me, in FPL right now, you just have to have three Arsenal because we're going into a period of time where...
I still think, you're worth investing in a three.
Well, you have to, I think, because they've got the double in 25, which is going to be so important when other teams are blanking. They're going to play in game week 28. And they'll play in 30. So there's like... Well, they should play in 32 as well, so...
Lots of reasons not to panic on Arsenal, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, the big question remains Trossard and Martinelli, because obviously Martinelli gets the start, goes off on like 62-ish minutes, I think it
was. So that's
was.
A couple of times now that's happened.
That's a couple of times, but that's okay, sort of. Picked up the clean
not
sheet.
Not when Trossard comes
time.
On and gets a goal.
That's the problem. Trossard's come on this time, scored the goal. What does that mean for Martinelli moving forward? Well, I guess it depends on... A number of factors. I think, you know, against Man City, I think Martinelli starts the game against Man City because I think he'll go in with... Yeah, I think he'll go in with tried and tested.
Yeah. His best team, inverted commas.
I do worry for Martinelli in game week 24 because I think that might be the time where he plays in.
Yeah.
Gives Trossard the start.
All right, John Tyne is in with a super chat. Thank you, John. He says, hey, guys. Yes, Sam. Almiron's 10 points first on my bench.
There you go. That's going to be a lot of people.
However, still an 83k green arrow to 850k very overall nice. Rank. So, John, very nice game week, mate. Very nice game week. 83k green arrow in any week is a good week, mate. That's a good week. So, yes, what else do we want to say about Arsenal versus Brentford? Any word on Ivan Toney and Brentford? Because, as I suggested, that is now, what is that, 10 games unbeaten or something? I mean, let's just have a look at Brentford's fixtures going forward. Let's have a quick sneaky peek at those.
Well, they're going to blank in 25, which is going to put most people off.
Yes, I had forgotten about that. Yes, Palace coming up next at home, which is a nice fixture if you're a Toney owner. But then the blank in 25 is obviously off-putting. Fulham, Everton, Southampton, Leicester. I mean, if it weren't for that blank, we'd be all in on Ivan Toney, wouldn't we?
Who are they due to play in 28?
In 28, Brentford are due to play Leicester at home.
So that could be off because Leicester are still in the FA Cup.
Possibly.
So
yeah,
you
possibly.
Could. So you could end up with this. And I think this is going to be the thing for FPL managers at the minute, isn't it? Is that, you know, 25 is going to dictate our feelings. Obviously, we've now got the other double, which we've not even mentioned yet, in 27.
Yeah, the four teams that have got the double now in 27, yeah, including Brighton
which
and
includes
others.
Brentford. So yeah. Brentford do play twice in 27.
Oh,
but
you're
you
right,
could
yeah.
be in a situation where Brentford blank in play in 24, they blank in 25, they play a single in 26, they double in 27, they blank again in 28. So you're going to have to...
I don't like all this, you know. I don't like it.
You said that the other day.
I don't like it.
And I think this is why you're going to have to, and we will get some more insight, because obviously we've got the FA Cup coming up, the fifth round. So we'll get some more insight then.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I love the chaos.
I don't.
Why?
It is well documented. I've said it a number of times. I like the monotony. I like a week to think about things, 10 games... A week to think about things, 10 games. There's a reason I was doing all right up until the World Cup and now I'm doing crap. I'm doing crap now at the minute because I keep getting doubles and blanks and I can't figure it out. I'm missing out on players like Mitoma that I really wanted. Well, he's blank and he hasn't got a double game week. I was going to get Madison this week. Well, on Sky on Saturday, I was like stating my case for Madison. Didn't get him though because, you know.
Yeah, but...
I'm focused on double game weeks. I like boring FPL. 10 weeks, then a week. 10 games, then a week. That's what I like. Nonetheless, it was the COVID season. I did absolute crap in the COVID season. It was all over the place, wasn't it? Fixtures everywhere. But you like the chaos, don't you? This is why this time of the season, this is where Team Lee has a little nosedive and Team Sam is on the rise. It's on the rise. Yes, so Brentford, no one's buying, I don't think, because of the blank in 25.
Particularly if your strategy is going to be to free hit in 28. Then the moment to buy Toney is probably 27.
Yeah, Daniel Banks, actually, nice comment in the chat. Daniel's saying that Toney's on 8 yellow cards, Sam, remember? So what's that? One or two away
two
from
or
a blank. So one or two away from a suspension.
I don't
so that's
think
to be considered.
It is absolutely to be considered. And I think, you know, you're going to have to... The reality is you're not investing in Toney for 24. You're clearly not investing for 25 because he blanks. And then, the question is going to be, what is your chip strategy? If your chip strategy is such that you're going to free hit in 28, then you invest in Toney for 27, is probably how this pans out.
Yeah. All right, let's just do a couple more games. I do want to talk about West Ham 1, Chelsea 1, because I know we've had a bit of a laugh about the Souček handball. And for Chelsea fans, absolutely no laughing matter, because they should have had a penalty without question. Talk to me about this game. What happened in this game? Because for 30 minutes, for 25, 30 minutes, I thought Chelsea were absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, they were.
They were absolutely brilliant. And then West Ham kind of woke up and made a bit more of a game of it. But for the first half hour, there was definitely some signs there that if Potter can get these individual players playing well together and on the same wavelength, and by the way, it looks as if Enzo Fernandez and João Felix are already on the same wavelength.
Yeah, I thought he had a good... The first sort of 30-35 minutes of the game, I thought Felix was fantastic.
Felix was out of this world first 30-35 minutes. And I was sitting there, obviously, with your dad, like you say, big Chelsea fan. And he was saying, we're moving. I said, what do you mean? He said, for the first time in weeks, João Felix is making those runs. So you've got the likes of Enzo Fernandez and others in midfield and Mudryk whenever he got on the ball. Although Mudryk is quite direct. He's a bit less of a passer. He likes to just get it. Reminds me a bit of, sorry, Chelsea fans. You haven't bought a Milan Baroš, but he reminds me a little bit of Milan Baroš when Baroš played for Liverpool. Back at, oh God, showing my age now. Ages ago, when Baroš used to play for Liverpool. I think he was a Czech international as well.
You've been random tonight.
I am a bit random tonight. It's because Liverpool haven't played and I'm happy.
Yeah. Is that what it is. Oh my God,
they haven't ruined the weekend.
I haven't seen Lee like this on a Sunday night for months.
It's because Liverpool haven't played. Hey. I haven't had to watch a load of shite from Anfield.
But imagine what it's going to be like tomorrow night. You're either going to
We're not live streaming tomorrow night, so it's fine.
I'm
not watching it. I'm going out.
I'm going to have to deal with you. When you get home from football, you're either going to be on a high or you're going to be on a crushing low.
Anyway, let's go back to Chelsea. Mudryk reminds me of Milan Baroš. He gets the ball, head down. He's got one thing in his mind. I want to get to the goal. And he does get his head up and knock it about when he wants to, but he's very direct. But Enzo Fernandez and João Felix, just watching them two. However, for the first 30 minutes, I felt like West Ham gave him a bit too much respect. I felt like West Ham were like a bit starstruck almost. They were just like, oh, bloody hell, this guy's won a World Cup. And bloody hell, João Felix. Bloody hell, you know. But I think they were a bit like, oh, blimey, we're up against some absolute belters here. And then almost at about half an hour, 35 minutes, they were like, oh, God, yeah, sorry, yeah, we're not playing FIFA. We're actually in a game here. And they woke up and they were good. There was one or two chances that got the crowd going, and that kind of changed the momentum of the game a little bit. But for sure, for the first 30 minutes, I was super impressed with Chelsea, and they should have had more. Havertz was offside a couple of times, and there was a lot of rhetoric on Twitter about, oh, why can't he stay onside? He was close. Mm. It was really close. And the point was, those gaps in defence were being made by João Felix, so that Havertz was then making the run. In previous weeks, and this is to your dad's comment about we're moving, that there wasn't any movement. So Havertz was a bit kind of static, wasn't anywhere really for him to run. But he and João Felix played really, really well. And I know he got the goal, so it's easy to sit here and say, well, he's possibly the FPL pick. At 7.5 as a forward, it's kind of hard to fit him in your squad, I would suggest, as a forward at 7.5, João Felix. But I was very impressed. What did you make of the game?
I think the thing for me with Chelsea is that they still really miss a number nine. Like, they've bought all these players and there isn't really somebody that's just in the box, just ready to pop it, tap it home. Like, they might be making this movement and stuff, and that's great. But have they got somebody that's there to finish these chances that they're creating? Like, in the past, you know, they'd have had their front man and they'd have been there and they'd have just tapped in the goals.
For years, they had a Drogba or a Costa or a whatever, right?
Or whoever it was, you know, there was always somebody there in the box that would finish the chances.
Well, they have got a number nine, by the way.
Yeah, but he's not any good.
It's just his face doesn't fit at the minute with Aubameyang. I can't help but feel like if you had Aubameyang from a few years ago that actually gave a crap about playing football, he'd be great in that Chelsea side at the minute. But it's just his head's not in the game and Potter doesn't fancy him. So he's got to go with João Felix.
And I think that's great. I just think that if they had a, you know, a finisher, if they had somebody up there, we would all be investing in Chelsea, probably multiple Chelsea players, because they also don't blank, so they're a nice team to be investing in.
Well, let's have a look at their fixtures going forward. You're absolutely right about that. It's Southampton at home up next, and goodness knows what sort of Southampton we're going to get, whether they get...
Even if they're going to have a manager or not.
Well, do they get a bit of new manager bounce, or are they literally just absolute pony? I do want a quick word about them in a second, because fair play to Wolves, they changed it up, and they did play well at the weekend.
Can't lose to a 10-man team.
Southampton, man, honestly. I just think they went in at half-time thinking, oh, 1-0 up and they're down to 10 men. We're just going to walk to this now. Just complacency was shocking. So Chelsea, so it's Southampton. Then it's Spurs in 25, which, as we've discussed a minute ago, without Bentancur, without Hugo Lloris, is it as difficult as the ticker maybe suggests? I don't know.
Even if we were full strength, Chelsea will beat us in that game. Chelsea always beat us. We are terrible against Chelsea every time.
So it's Chelsea going to Spurs. Then it's Leeds, Leicester and Everton. You've got to say that run doesn't look too bad. If you wanted to invest in Chelsea, it doesn't feel like a bad time, I have to say. I'm just not sure where to go. Where would you go if you were going to invest in Chelsea outside of Kepa, which, of course, we've all got?
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because I think, like you say, the forwards slots are difficult. I think Felix...
It's only really João Felix.
Yeah. But it's hard because you've got... Well, unless Haaland's out. If Haaland's suddenly injured for months...
He's not. I don't think he is.
I mean, you might want to get off Kane at some point, but as I've said, you're not selling him now because of the fact that the Spurs play in 25 and you're going to need all the playing players you can get.
What about the midfielders, though?
You could go for Mudryk.
You've got Mudryk there at 7. You've got... even Enzo Fernandez pops up with an assist. And he's 5. He's 5.0.
Is he?
I think he's 5.0 as a midfielder.
He's definitely a midfielder. He definitely starts with a 5. Is it 5 or 5.5?
I'm pretty sure he's 5.0. The chat will tell us in a minute. But he doesn't strike me, I don't think, as a sort of FPL asset that's going to haul very regularly. But a 5 mil, if he ticks over a few assists and takes a few set pieces and free kicks, that's okay, isn't it? 5 mil?
Mm.
I think it's perfectly viable.
Yeah, I mean, but this season, and in previous seasons in FPL, I think it would be more than viable because you'd look at it and go, well, I want to have Salah and I want to have Haaland and I want to have Kane and I want KDB, so I'm going to have to fill team with a load of cheap options. This year, that's not a thing. Like, people have got like 5 million in the bank. So you don't need to go with the likes of, you might want to, that's a different 5. Question.
5.0 the chat saying, yeah, for there Enzo.
You don't necessarily need to have the likes of Enzo Fernandez, Matoma, Andreas Pereira. Like, you might want them, but it just means that you're going to have to just change up the way that you view the bank, and it'd be okay to have lots of money in the bank. And I think it is, by the way. I don't think that that's something we should shy away from this season. It feels weird. It feels a bit alien. I'm not normally one for going for a defensive double up with a goalkeeper and a defender, but I do kind of, I can see myself going there.
Like Badashayi, don't you?
Yeah.
What did you make of Reece James' performance at the weekend?
I'm not interested in Reece James.
Oh, yeah, you hate Reece James, don't you?
I'm not interested.
I think he looked good again.
I'm just not interested because
I'm ready to go back there and get hurt again.
Are you?
I think possibly.
You're a clown for punishment. Possibly.
I didn't much like him in that back four, though. That was the one thing. If Potter's going to persist with this back four,
which I think he will,
Reece isn't going to get forward quite as much as if he was in, obviously, a back five and playing wing back. So I like him a bit less because of that, but he still looked dangerous. And he still was taking the odd sort of eyeing up set pieces and stuff. It's just, is he going to get his fair share now that they've got Enzo and others that can actually take a proper free kick? I don't know.
I'm not interested in Reece James.
I'm possibly. I don't know. Before we move off of Chelsea, super chat from Raheem Khan, who's also been a member here on the channel for 11 months. Hey, Raheem, very nice to see you. What's the plan for tomorrow, Lee? Going to dinner during the Merseyside derby or to the gym? I'll be out playing football, mate. Monday night is my football
Lee's
night. I will be out.
Lee's going to pretend that he's Darwin and score a load of goals and hope that there's some kind of, I don't know, connection between you and Darwin. And whenever you score one, he scores one.
Yeah, it won't. It won't.
You'll watch a bit, won't you? Be here for the first time.
Raheem is saying he's booked a reservation at 9 p.m. with his wife, so he's literally going out. Is that I'm not watching it? We're so negative at the minute as Liverpool fans.
What's
it's terrible, isn't it?
Darling?
What do you mean, what's going on? Thiago's out now for a few weeks, which...
Welcome to my world!
By the way, blessing in disguise, potentially, in being out for a while.
Well,
absolute liability at the moment.
At least you haven't got your main man out.
Talk to me about potentially... Emerson being an option for us from West Ham. So Emerson pops up with the goal. The chat saying that he's 4.0. I thought he was 4.5, but
he's 4.0.
If the chat is saying he's 4.0, I believe you guys.
He is, definitely.
An attacking fullback for West Ham. Let's have a look at the West Ham fixtures. Tottenham up next, as we've mentioned. Then Forest, Brighton, Villa and Man City. So
what's the game week 28 game?
Game week 28 for them is Man City. So you're going to need to play him at the Etihad, which is not ideal.
Well,
but he is an attacking fullback.
Mike Blank, what was my point?
I see what you mean. Yeah. Are you going to need him in 25, which is Forest at home?
Which is fine,
right? I don't mind it.
I don't mind it either. I don't love it, though, because...
No.
But then I think, you know, in some ways you have to... We're not getting a lot of clean sheets, are we, in the league right now? There's not a lot of clean sheets coming in each week. So you kind of have to just look at the defenders that you think have got some attacking threat and some attacking potential that are regularly starting, because that's going to be the key.
Sai said, I wouldn't book dinner with Darwin because he'd miss it. Like that. Yeah, like that, Sai. Very good. Yeah, very good. Yeah.
He's going to play.
Emerson, radar, but radar only for now. For the first 30 minutes, they were tragic, by the way. I mean,
they were
I'm happy to sit here and say Chelsea were very, very good, but West Ham did not wake up for half an hour. They were absolute rubbish and could have been 2 or 3 down quite easily, Sam, quite easily. Any other games that you want to discuss before we talk about our teams?
No, not really.
Quick chat on Man U and Leeds. Fiery game, wasn't it? Ill-tempered game. Can't believe there wasn't a red card in it, to be honest with you, but plenty of yellows.
Would have been just for somebody that was randomly walking across the pitch. Didn't deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, if Lamina was in this game, he'd have got sent off just for being there. I'm pretty sure about it. A bit of an ill-tempered game, as I think we come to expect with this fixture, I think. But in the end, United got the job done. And you're right in what you said at the beginning of the live stream. They are in this title race, Manchester United.
They are. And 100%. This is going to... So I watched this game like this every time Bruno got the ball because the man looked like he might score at any minute. He had so many...
Think?
Yeah.
He did have a gilt-edged chance end of the first half.
He had a few gilt-edged chances where I was like, oh, Bruno. Because I told him. Because I have no choice. Because I have to start freeing up spaces in my team for game week 25. I have to use my transfers wisely. What did I do with that? Oh, I got Saka, didn't I? I got Saka.
Yes, that worked out. Okay.
So that worked out fine. But I was scared, genuinely. Because I honestly think that Manchester United are...
They're good, don't they?
Yeah. I think that there is a good chance.
Even without the main men in midfield, without Eriksen, without Casemiro, Sabitzer coming, he's a bit more, what's the word, industrial than those two. He's not quite got the flair that the other two have got, but he just does a really good job. Well, he did do a good job, I thought, today. He just put himself about and worked hard. And that's, you know, that enables the likes of Fernandes to get forward. You're right about Bruno, by the way. Seventh for XG underachievers in game week 23.
He was really unlucky, I think.
So far, so could have had some goals. Although I think that one at the end of the first half, where he blocked the pass and then went through 1-1, that in itself would have been a high XG chance, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember too much more outside of that. But I think you were just watching it through your hands because you told it more than anything.
Well, maybe that might be. But I thought he looked dangerous, and I was worried about not having him anymore.
But of course, as we know, they blank.
They blank
in game week 25. So what are you doing with Luke Shaw and with Rashford?
Well, Rashford can't go anywhere ever.
I think you have to keep him, don't you? You have to bench him.
Luke Shaw was on the radar for selling.
Yeah.
Ahead of 25.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I've only got three players that blank now.
Oh, so you're pretty well set for 25 then.
Yeah, I don't quite know how I've managed that. I've got Rashford, I've got Shaw, and I've got Trippier. So I've only actually got the three. So I'm actually doing all right. I don't necessarily
have to move
anyone else. And I could just do things like deal with Kyle Walker-Peters instead, which is far more pressing, I think.
Yeah.
And I've got enough money in the bank. So I don't have to deal with it. But there will be managers out there that have got Trippier and Almiron that have still got all of the, the three Manchester United assets. Like you've still got three, right?
I've got three United assets, and I'm holding Trippier, yeah.
Yeah, so but you've not got Almiron anymore. But there will also be managers that have got, like, those guys, plus maybe they've got Tony in their teams, maybe they've got Matoma in their teams, and they'll have, like, five or six.
Brighton players, right?
Five or six, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, you have to kind of make some difficult decisions. Now, Manchester United, I think you have to hold Rashford. I don't think there's a question there, and I think you have to hold Trippier.
Do you think there's any credence in thinking about the free hit for 25? Or we're really going to need that chip a few weeks from now in 28, 29, aren't we? What's the game week that's going
to
be difficult?
28. If the FA Cup fixtures go the way that they look like they're going to go, which, look, let's be honest, it's the FA Cup. Anything can happen in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
You know, I would expect Spurs to win, but we might not with the amount of injuries that we have. We could have so few games on that week.
But the flip side of that is... Couldn't one of the subsequent game weeks, and I think it's 29, could be quite a big double. So here we are with the conundrum that we always have. You and I have been playing FPL long enough to know that we have this conundrum at least once a season that the FA Cup causes, which is you have one free hit. Do you play it defensively in a game week where there's virtually no fixtures and you've got virtually no players playing, and you get 11 out, but they're from teams that are not in cups and that you probably wouldn't necessarily want to pick anyway? Or do you play it aggressively in a big double game week and go heavy on the heavy hitters?
So I think you can play it in 28 this time because you have got teams like Arsenal, and I think you've got Chelsea as well that are guaranteed. Who have Chelsea got in 28?
Chelsea in 28, I shall check for you. Here we go. They have got Everton at home. Everton at home.
In the cup? I can't remember now. There's a few big teams that are already guaranteed to play in 28, including Arsenal. So I think there is definitely scope for being players that you'd actually want to invest in 28 from the other teams if you free hit it. Whereas normally you free hit and you're kind of scrabbling around for a Southampton forward or whoever. Whereas I don't think that'll be the case this time around. Plus, if you do the free hit in 28, when you look at your team for 29, particularly if you've invested in players like Matoma for the double in 27 and Tony for the double in 27, and you are set up with those fixtures in mind.
When your team comes back for 29. When your team comes back
for 29 after the free hit, you will have probably...
It will look all right, you think?
A lot of doublers in there because you're going to have Matoma doubling. You've also got... There's still... Leave the FA Cup aside, there's still seven fixtures to be rescheduled between now and the end of the season, of which Brighton are two of them. So you're going to have a lot of doubles coming up. So I think... I normally would agree with you, you play it in a double. But I think what you'll find this time is that you're already, your team will already going to look like it's full of doublers for 29.
Okay.
But 28 is going to look like an absolute shower of.
All right. Okay, well, very good. Well, United getting the job done. Young Garnacho's a player, isn't he?
Yes.
Looks good, doesn't he? Nice player. Really like him. Very cultured for his age. Looks really, really good. United absolutely on the march and in the title race, I would suggest. Anything else to discuss on here? Nathan Jones? Bint?
Needed to go.
I think you're probably right. A very, very quick word then on this one, because I don't think any of us are getting too excited about Southampton or Wolves assets. Although, I have
Wolves
to say...
Wolves double in 27?
Wolves do double in 27, so they could be useful for
and
you.
They
because
in
they have... yeah, the double in 25. And then, do they double in 27 as well? No, double in 25.
Sorry,
look,
25,
Fulham and
yeah.
Liverpool. So Bournemouth at home next week. Fulham and Liverpool away in 25. And then it looks as if they've got to go to St James's Park in 27. So for the next couple of weeks, Wolves look all right. So very, very quickly, Southampton won, Wolves 2. I think Southampton thought they'd got the job done. I think they went into half-time 1-0 up and a man up, thinking, oh, we're just going to see this out. And fair play to the Wolves manager, whose name I can never pronounce, Lopetegui. Have I said that right? Lopetegui. The way that he made those changes at half time, the players that he brought on, he went for it. I liked it. He threw caution to the wind. He brought Adama Traore on, and screw this. We've got nothing to lose. We're gonna. It would have been interesting to see whether he'd taken that tactic against a more astute team. But what he looked at it is, he was like, "Well, I've got nothing to lose." I think we can get at this Saints team. There's only one goal in it. We could get a draw out of this if we play our cards right with a little bit of luck. And actually, in the end, they didn't need the luck. They were great. Mm. And I liked that from the manager. He was prepared to put his balls on the line and say, I'm going to go for this. And Southampton didn't know what hit him second half. No. Plus, they were absolutely bloody terrible. And Nathan Jones has got the sack on the back of it. What a weird appointment that was. I remember when he came from Luton, I remember thinking... You know, is this guy going to be any good? I remember speaking to a couple of Luton, so there's a couple of guys that I play football with on a Monday night, they're Luton fans.
Right.
And they were like, he's a good manager, but he's probably taken us, he was as Luton fans, they were saying, he's taken Luton as far as he could have taken them. But I remember them saying, you know, big step up to the Premier League, and not sure if he's ready for that yet. And he wasn't. They had one win in 10, didn't he, or something, which was against Everton. And
I think the big worry for... both Leeds and Southampton fans is where you go next. Because, you know, Jesse Marsh, Nathan Jones, who's coming in? Like, who's available? Like, Everton, I think, actually, you know, at the time we were all like, oh, here we go. Just doing it after a window and stuff is weird.
Yeah.
But they did it. They've got the right man. Like, they've got in somebody that
think
can.
So. Yeah,
well,
I think so.
The thing is, if you look at who was available to take over at Everton, Sean Dyche was the right man to try to keep them in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I look at who's available still now, and these are not managers that are fighters and that know how to get out of trouble. And that is a worry if you are a Southampton fan.
Yeah, I know.
And it means you're not. I mean, I've got Kyle Walker-Peters. I do not want him anymore.
I think Leeds are in for the team that are top of the Eredivisie, the manager there. But, you know, he's top of the Eredivisie, so is he going to want to go there? I think they're after this, again, another name I can't pronounce, but the Celtic boss up in Scotland. Costa Coscolu or something.
Well,
I don't
know. With Gerrard
and I don't
stuff,
know. Yeah,
they?
Yeah.
They
so,
down from Scotland last time.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows which managers are going to step up and do these jobs? But you're right, there ain't a lot to choose from. Let's look at our teams, Sam. But before we do, a quick shout out to all of our patrons. We know there is a lot of you in this evening, as you always are, you lovely people here on a Sunday night. So patreon.com/FPL family if you want a little bit more FPL family in your lives. We do extra podcasts every week. We've got Slack community access where you can come in and chat with all of our patron supporters. We do a manager of the month competition if you want to get involved with that. We've got Zooms if you want to do one-to-one Zooms with Sam and I about your teams. Maybe you're thinking of playing your wild card and you just like some ideas and share some thoughts with one of us over a Zoom. All of that extra FPL family-ness is available on patreon.com/FPL family, and the links are in the descriptions below. We'd love for you to go and check that out. And right now, in the February Manager of the Month, obviously this does not include the current game. It doesn't include Game Week 23 because it's still ongoing. But at the end of Game Week 22, it was Gordon that is top currently in the February Manager of the Month competition. Head-to-head with Rajesh as well, former champion Rajesh. The reason Gordon is first and Rajesh is second is because Rajesh actually has took a hit. He got 120 with his Rashford triple captain, but took a hit, whereas Gordon just got 116. And if you did take a hit, then that puts you in second place. Those that don't take hits, when the scores are level, you get a bit of a step up. And then Mohamed El Kahouli in with 115. So still all to play for. Loads and loads of 100-plus scores last week because of the Rashford triple captain. So well played to everybody that got over 100 in our Patreon community last week. And it's still all to play for in the February Manager Month. And it's not too late to join, folks. If you want to join in with this month's competition or you want a bit more Sam and Lee in your lives, patreon.com/FPL family is where you will find it. All right, let's get on with our teams. Here I am for the week. Here I am. Not great, to be honest.
Not terrible,
but
though.
Not terrible. I have seen some scores in the high 20s and 30s. So when I'm sitting here and going, oh, I've only got 43, I appreciate there will be people that are just like, shut up, I got 32.
Well, look, so think about this in comparison to how you felt yesterday when you were like, I've got 10.
Yesterday was bad, no doubt about it. But the Rashford goal with the Shaw assist definitely helped. Definitely helped. Mm. But this time last night, I was sitting there not liking the look of my team on about 9 or 10 points. But I had in my head, I was like, right, well, I've got Fernandes and De Bruyne tomorrow, and then I've got Darwin on Monday. Those are three players that will get me back up there. Those are the three that I need to perform. And it just hasn't happened yet. Fernandes with the three, De Bruyne with the two. In actual fact, that's the De Bruyne one that stinks and stings, I should say, more than any. Because when the penalty was awarded, I'm thinking, good, Haaland captain, that's nice. But I was kind of a bit meh because everyone's captained him. So I was like, okay, that's nice that he's getting the ball. And then the commentator said, oh, looks like they're having a conversation about who's taking the penalty. It won't be Haaland after all. And I'm like, bingo, go on, Kevin, get your goal. And it's like the screen cuts back and it's Mahrez taking it. I was honestly, when I was devastated. I could not believe that was not Haaland or De Bruyne taking it.
I was very quiet.
And bloody Mahrez was taking it. And actually, if De Bruyne had taken that penalty, my game, it would have been the complete opposite. I'd have had probably a 10 to 15% green arrow, I would suggest. So yeah, it does feel a little bit all on Darwin at the minute. I do have White, Ødegaard, Nketiah, Haaland and De Bruyne all to play in that massive six-pointer at the top of the league between Arsenal and Man City.
Darwin's
in
the
a
big
couple
one
of
there.
Days. But Darwin
Such
is the one.
Such a differential. Like, if he does do well,
yes.
He will
He's only about 2 or 3%.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's more in hope than expectation, I have to tell you.
I've got a feeling about Darwin tomorrow.
Oh, I hope you're right. I really hope you're right, but I don't think you are. So there it is. Yeah, not a great game week. A pretty average to below par game week, which Darwin could make an average game week tomorrow. And then depending on how my Arsenal Man City assets get on, we'll see where we're at. But an overall rank change of -25.7 was feeling a lot worse. This time yesterday, I was at about 270k. It was looking really bad. But like I say, Shaw and Rashford have pulled me out of the mire. Particularly Shaw, who I know a lot has been benched. I know a lot did bench Shaw, so I'm very happy that I played him. But yeah, I was looking for my heavy hitters. You're spending all this money on Fernandes and De Bruyne in midfield, and it's just not happening. So those are the two. If I look across my midfield and I say, well, who would you sell? It's not Andreas or Ødegaard or Rashford right now. It's the two most expensive ones.
Yeah.
So I haven't put, to be honest, I haven't put really any thought yet into what I'm going to do for transfers for next week because there's still football to be played.
Yeah.
I have to say, I don't mind the look of Chelsea, but kind of want to see, I probably want to see them for one or two more games before I go there. But I've got to start thinking about Man United out for 25, haven't I? And if I'm going to go out, it's not Rashford. I've got to start thinking about what I'm going to do with Fernandes and maybe Shaw as well. So Fernandes out to, I don't know yet, could be anybody, couldn't it, that plays in game week 25. And then I've got to think about Shaw as well. So anyway, 43. It's not great, but it's also not a shocker. So 204k is absolutely fine. You, on the other hand, there's no other words to say than absolutely smashing it at the minute.
That's a
absolutely smashing it. And like, I could sit here and say, oh, you're lucky. And the Mahrez penalty is a bit lucky today. But listen, the way that you're playing since you've come back from the World Cup has been nothing short of bloody brilliant. You've gone from something like 1.6K or something, and you're now at 94K. And you've got Darwin tomorrow, who you've got a good feeling about. I don't have the same feeling, but you've got a good feeling. So we'll take your vibe. You managed to get away with benching Andreas as well. So Shaw and Rashford have played for you, so that's good. Saka is your transfer in for this week. That's come off for you. And you've had the lucky Mahrez penalty. So 94K, you must be absolutely buzzing.
Surprised, I think I'd say.
Surprised?
But yeah.
I
was a bit worried.
Why would you be surprised?
So we went out for dinner on Friday night. I had a little date night, didn't we?
Very nice it was. Yes, very nice.
We had Sky the next morning. Their kids had gone for a sleepover. And we spent a lot of the night talking about
FPL.
And I said to you, I was so backwards and forwards all week. So Monday, I was absolutely dead set that I was taking a -4.
Yeah.
-4. I was going to take Darwin out. I was going to take Bruno out. And I was going to go Nketiah up top instead of Darwin. And I was going to go, I can't even remember who I was going to get in midfield. Who was I going
to
get?
Go for Martinelli sideways to Erdogan.
Oh, that's right. I was going to keep Bruno and I was going to Martinelli to Erdogan. That's what I was going to do. I was going to keep Bruno. But then the double game week for Liverpool got announced and I was like, oh,
yeah,
God,
you got to hold on to it.
Stuck with Darwin
now.
Yeah. So then I was faffing. I was really faffing about whether to take the -4 or to do Martinelli to Erdogan. And in the end, I got myself in such a tizzy, I decided not to do anything because it's always best to just do nothing if you're not sure.
I find that, you know, I'd love to know from you guys in the comments. If I'm really, really unsure as to what to do with the transfer, I normally don't do it.
Yeah, and that's what happened with me this week. I just got myself into 2-8. And I was always going to have to do Bruno to Saka at that point. When I had to keep Darwin, it was always Bruno to Saka because I had to have Saka. That was my priority.
Yeah.
And then I was unsure. Now, I still may have made the wrong call by not getting Ødegaard because obviously he's got another match to play. And I am 80% sure.
80?
80-ish percent. That was a cross between 80 and 90. Yeah, that Martinelli will start against Man City, but I would expect him to come off early.
How do you feel about him going forward, though? Is he now a problem that you want to fix?
Yeah, he still is. But I didn't want to fix him for a -4, and I think that's the kind of key. And I'm also looking at my team for next week, thinking, well, I don't mind playing Pereira next week, so maybe Martinelli can drop to the bench for next week, and I'll play Pereira instead.
Sorry to cut across you. Have you seen the Fulham highlights yet? Pereira could have absolutely hauled yesterday. Yeah. Absolutely hauled. He hit the bar twice. He got the assist. There was another assist that he could have had from a corner, I think. He could have had an absolute monster this weekend. So, yeah, he looked very lively, very dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mahrez has made the world a difference. I'm expecting him to start again against Arsenal in the middle of the week. So, I don't have three Man City players, and that worried me going into this. But I have, I think in Mahrez, I've got the one that is the right one to have.
Oh, I doubt it at the minute. He was on corners as well today, most of the set pieces, and now on pens, apparently.
Look, it's been going well. I cannot quite fathom how I'm at 94K. I don't, it still baffles me. And Darwin tomorrow. I mean, look, if Darwin gets 2 points, then that's still going to be a bit more of a, you know, there's still going to be a jump because no one's really got Darwin.
If he got a goal on a couple of bonus points or something tomorrow, which, unless it's Everton at home, it's Merseyside derby, anything can happen. I'm not confident we're going to get anything out of it, but that's just me being a negative Liverpool fan. On paper, you'd say Liverpool at Anfield against a team in a relegation zone. I mean, you'd like to think that we'd probably win that game. And if we do, Darwin's got a chance of scoring. And you're right, his effective ownership in and around me, according to Live FPL, is at 2 or 3%. It's
2.3,
crazy.
I think he is where I am. So, you know,
there's a reason for that, though.
Yeah, but it will be a big boost. So let's just see. Look, I'm pleased. I should be.
You're playing absolutely brilliantly at the minute.
So Danny, who I know is in, or he was in earlier at least, said to me the other week, after last week's live stream, we were in the Slack, and he said to me, what's your plan, Sam? And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, what are you going to do now? And I was like, keep pushing. And he was like, yes, I love that.
Definitely,
because I don't know how else to do
definitely.
It. Like there is a moment, isn't there, where you get in the... And for me, it normally comes around the top 10K, where you start second-guessing yourself because the cost of the risk is greater, if that makes sense. Like,
I just by moving keep going.
People in and out. Whereas for me right now, the risks that I'm taking are kind of educated gambles. It was, I like Mahrez better than I like KDB because he's in better form, so we'll go there. Selling Bruno was a massive risk, but I felt Saka with the two fixtures offered a little bit more. Plus, I looked at it as a 5-game week period, and it was like, well, or 3-game week period. Saka's got 5 games where Bruno's got 2.
Totally. Yeah,
so
totally.
You just have to kind of play the things out. Look, I probably, I'm going to roll.
Well, do you know what? I considered that myself. I looked at my bus team for next week and I thought,
it doesn't look bad.
That's probably okay. And given the chaos that's to come, maybe it's worth rolling.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at my team and I think it looks okay for game week 24.
Yeah.
And game week 24 is a normal standard game week. You know, obviously there's a lot to happen.
Love them. Love a standard game week.
There's
love
a lot a standard, to happen. Because
it's nice 10 fixtures. None of this doubles or blanks. No chaos. Just a nice 10 fixtures. Can we have that every week, please?
No, I love the chaos. So we've got lots to happen this week. Because obviously you've got Liverpool, Manchester United, Liverpool and Everton playing tomorrow evening. We've got the beginnings of the Champions League fixtures this week. That's coming. Yes. And obviously then we've got the game between Arsenal and Manchester City. So there's a lot that could... No, yeah, who did I say? Yeah, Arsenal and Manchester City.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of game time to be played and a lot of potential issues that could arise on the back of those games. You know, an injury to somebody and suddenly I have to make a transfer.
Yeah, sure.
But my current plan is to just roll it and have the two to go into 25 because I think that might be more valuable to me.
Good.
To make my changes and I'll be fixing the likes of Carl Walker-Peters.
And maybe Luka Dean.
And probably Luka Dean as well, yeah. I think Tarkowski will come in for one of them. And then I don't know. I don't know who the other
good
one
though.
Will
listen,
be
94k, not to be sniffed at all. At Hooray. All. 24.2% up. Another green arrow for Team Sam. 57 points, which I tell you, this game week is bloody good. There's some people struggling in the 20s and 30s. So 57.
Might even be on the leaderboard for Manager of the Month next month.
Very, very good indeed, Sam. Very, very good. Well played. Well played. A little bit of jam this week. Even you'll accept a little bit of jam this week. But that's the only... But I couldn't legit sit here and say, oh, you've just been lucky to get where you... You played it a blinder. The fact that Mahrez popped up for that penalty today...
Is he on penalties forever now?
I don't...
Can he have all penalties forevermore? Because if
no,
he does, then...
I don't think so.
Please.
I don't think so. Let's get on to it. I just want to answer this. So, quick question from the live chat, Sam. Raffert is in. Raffert, thank you for the question. Can you have your Zoom session? Can he have your Zoom session with Max? Because he needs some professional advice.
Of course, yeah. Although Max is not having the best of game weeks.
About time he had a red arrow, to be honest.
He has
about
got,
time.
He has got a red arrow. He's not had a red arrow maybe all season. But this one is...
He's down from like 7K to like 9K. So it's not as if he's fallen off a cliff.
No, he's only on 39. So he's actually not having a very good game week because he's bench sure.
Some people would kill for 39. I've seen some scores in the chat.
Well, he's not happy. But
he's bench Luke Shaw. Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah, but he does have, and he doesn't have a City midfielder.
Right, okay.
And of course, he's got a captaincy on Haaland, so
okay.
Let's see. But yeah, you absolutely can. It might have to be a supervisor Zoom because he is only 9.
He's only 9 years old.
And if you ask him, he'll probably just say, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, he does tend to make good FPL decisions, though. Somewhere must be genetics. There must be in the genes. From your side, I hasten to add, not from my side. What is coming up this week, Sam, from FPL Family?
You can see a lot of me this week, actually.
No, really?
Yeah.
What? You're doing FPL content this week? That is a shock.
Quite a lot of FPL content. So I will be on the off the bench this week.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Who with?
With us. It's me and
us. Look at that. The old Q&A team.
The Q&A team are back together. Yeah, Az is a last minute sub in because of, well, we had to make a change. So it'll be me and Az on Tuesday morning. We're recording that, so about Tuesday afternoon, looking at the game week so far. Hopefully I'll be talking about a double digit haul for Darwin on that.
That would be nice. That would be nice for all sorts of reasons.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah, we'll take that.
So that will be happening on Tuesday. Obviously there's the main podcast. I'll be back on that again on Thursday. And then you and I will be back in the Sky Sports News studios again on Saturday
morning.
Are we back on again on Saturday?
Got another state your case.
Another state your case. Okay. But you're always quite good at that. So whoever
I'm good at state my case,
When you tell me the state of the case on Friday night, I might just bring them in.
Yeah, I'm really... My state my
you're
cases
really
have been
that.
Very... I never actually do it, and therefore don't get the points. But
James Tarkowski.
Yeah.
It's been
Mitoma.
Who was the one before that?
You mean James Maddison, not Tarkowski. I had Maddison this week, and then I had Mitoma before that. Who was it before that? I do remember it being good. I remember thinking, I've done all right there.
It was a defender, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember. But every time I've spin on there and done a state your case,
It's gone quite well.
Yeah, I just never actually do it myself.
Yeah.
Which is bonkers,
right? So we're on that. And of course, there will be an Ohana podcast on Friday.
Always
an Ohana podcast on Friday for the patrons. See, it's going to be a busy week.
Another busy week where you, Sam, from FPL Family, will be on absolutely everything as usual, as usual. Folks, thank you for joining us this evening. Well done for anybody that's got, a green arrow this week. Is good. It's one of those weeks, been a tough week. And of course, there is still football to be played. I, like you, I'm looking for a Darwin double-digit haul, which I hope means that we get a result in the Merseyside derby. I'm not convinced myself.
I hope you do, because then you'll be like this.
Yeah.
I've not seen you this happy on
a... I haven't been this happy on a live stream for a while because we've been so crap. But because we haven't played, I'm happy. It's pathetic. Genuinely pathetic.
Genuinely, this is what I'd say, I was like,
It is that. But it was Danny at the beginning reminded me of the Lamina red card. I'm going to go and show you this Lamina red card and show you how ridiculous it is. In fact, match of the day two, we'll skip through Spurs, don't worry. Okay. But you've got to have a look at the Suchek handball and the, sorry, we just didn't draw the lines for Arsenal.
I saw the Suchek handball. I saw all of that.
Some of the refereeing this weekend has been tragic and comedy all at the same time.
But before we do that, you know what it is tonight, don't you?
Is it Love Island time?
It's Casa Amor time.
Oh my God. FPL Harry will be loving that, by the way. He loves a bit of Love Island.
Does he?
Harry, he loves a bit of Love Island.
Harry!
Let me tell you.
I'll be texting you tonight then while it's on Harry.
Pretty sure he's got a secret second YouTube channel somewhere. It's a Love Island featuring Harry.
Harry, should we set up a Love Island podcast? Just you and me talking about Love Island?
No, finally,
I found someone.
Wilco's in saying it's a Super Bowl tonight, Sam. How can you be watching bloody Casa Amor? It's a Super Bowl.
Oh, I'm not interested in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Isn't it on at like 4 in the morning or something?
Well, it's in America, Sam, so yes, it will be quiet.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in that.
Yeah.
I'll be going to bed. I've got an early start to work. I'll go to work.
All right, folks, thank you for joining us this evening. Leave us a like before you go. And as usual, if you're not subscribed to the channel, we would love you to hit that big red button on your way out. Guys, well done in game week 23. Good luck for those of you that have got Liverpool, Everton, Man City or Arsenal assets. And we'll see you this time next Sunday for another FPL Family. See you then.
Bye, guys.